welcome to the Empower Church podcast. My name's Matt Garner, and I'm the pastor at Empower Church here in Melbourne, Australia. We're so glad you've joined us today, and I am believing that today's message is not only going to inspire you and encourage you, but it's going to empower, equip, and challenge you to be everything that God has called you to be. Hey, if you want more information about what we're up to at Empower Church, just jump on our website, empowerchurch.co, and all the details are there. We really hope that you enjoy the message.
Well, we're going to wrap up a series this morning that we've been talking about the church. And last week, we spoke about, I gave you a long list of things of why God chose the ecclesia, why he didn't choose the word synagogue or temple, or why he chose a governmental term, the word ecclesia, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my," which we now interpret the English word as church, but my ecclesia is the Greek word. And we discovered that there are a list of reasons why he chose a governmental term to describe who the church of Jesus would be on the earth as opposed to a religious term. And some of those reasons just are because it's mobile. The church is not a building. The church is not a place that we come to. We at Empower Church, we don't go to church. We don't, our language, we don't split hairs about it either, so we're not religious about it by any means. But we as the church, we gather as the church, not for church. We see the word church as an identity that we are rather than an action or a behavior that we fulfill. And so we see ourselves as the church. It's mobile. Wherever two or three are gathered, there's the church. Why? Because that's the ecclesia. And so we believe that the ecclesia, the church, you and I, at its core DNA, a part of its definition is that it's influential. It was birthed and created and released by Jesus so that it could bring the government of God on the earth. And so we are the ecclesia. And so today what I want to do is we're going to read from the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read, I believe, the whole chapter this morning. And then I want to give you a bit of a teaching, because what I want you to where I really want us to grow in, and where I believe the church need to grow in, is we're really good at believing for miracles. We're really good at prayer. We're really good at not being ashamed. We're really good at all those sorts of things on Sundays. And you've heard me say this many times before, but what we really need to realize is that the most powerful place that we can be the church is not in here, it's out there. You've heard me say that revival is not when the world comes to the church, but revival is when the church goes to the world. Amen? Can I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
And so it's exciting as we shift our perspective around who we are, and we become deeply challenged with being followers of Jesus that don't wrap up our entire religious identity based upon our activity and tradition on a Sunday. Although that activity and tradition on a Sunday is vitally important. In fact, it's encouraged in the scriptures that we would not forsake the gathering together of the church, of the saints, of the brethren. But we need to mature beyond our entire Christianity, taking its entire context just on a Sunday. And so when we talk about ecclesia and we talk about you being the church, it's really an invitation from the Spirit of God to you today to realize that you're called to be an influence, you're called to be salt and light, you're called to be power, you're called to be a solution in your workplace. You don't need to go to a third world country on a missions trip, you as the church are on mission. Whether you're a teacher, a student, whether you're retired, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter what street address or suburb you have attached to your name. It doesn't matter what car you have, want to have or don't have. None of those things matter. You have an address and a name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is the only thing that matters. It's not about who your parents are, who your parents' parents are. Doesn't matter what nationality or ethnicity you come from. You are a child of God. You have been born again by the Spirit of God. And that is where the power comes. Amen? Amen. And so we've described a little bit over the last couple of weeks, just the history of the church too. As we're reading 1 Peter, what I need you to know is that the church have been thrown into dispersion. The church have now scattered. Christianity has been so heavily persecuted that the church, Peter the Apostle himself, is gone. We haven't heard, by the time we arrive at 1 Peter, the epistle of 1 Peter, no one has seen or heard, historically speaking, of Peter for 15 years. For 15 years, this same Peter that stood up and preached and thousands got saved in Acts chapter 2, this Peter has gone missing. He's like a sweet ninja, just vanished. No one knows really where he is, except we know that he's shepherding ecclesia communities. We know he's pastoring and leading, and we know he's doing a whole lot of things, but the church is in persecution. The last actually we heard of Peter was in Acts chapter 8 when he was put into prison, but his assignment wasn't over. And they would have killed him then, but destiny is always stronger than death. That's too deep for you this morning. I'm just making myself happy. Destiny is stronger than death. And so they put him in prison and the church start praying. The church start praying and a miracle happens. An angel appears in the prison and unlocks the prison and Peter walks out of the prison. The prayer is happening. They're praying, they're expecting, they're believing, but they're even in a place where they're confused in their believing. They're believing and praying and Peter rocks up the door, knock, 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 to the prayer meeting that are praying for him to be released. And they slide the little thing open. That's how I imagine it happened anyway. A little peephole open and it's Peter standing there. Close. You know what I'm saying? Can you see it in my mind? They don't believe that Peter's there, but Peter's standing there. So we haven't heard from Peter about a story about him or him saying anything since Acts chapter 8. The only other time Peter gets mentioned is when him and Paul are having a fight over a dinner party and who's eating what at what table and who should, and Peter was trying to encourage them to eat as the Jews ate. And Paul's like, come on, man, move on. Let's grow up. Let's keep moving forward. We haven't heard from him. And here we find ourselves at 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read this morning. It says, this is the letter from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, that makes me hungry for pizza, Asia, and Bithynia. I want you to hear that word, not Cappadocia, although delicious. Let's just listen to this again. I'm writing to God's chosen people. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners. We'll come back to that in a moment. As a result, God the Father, verse number 2, knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you've obeyed him and you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So despite being foreigners, despite being dispersed, despite I believe the ESV translation says that they were chosen exiles. See how those two words kind of really, they don't fit, do they? But the point is, in our series around the ecclesia, is it doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you're in a prison, you're still the ecclesia. Doesn't matter if you're in pain, you're still the ecclesia. Doesn't matter if you're homeless, you're still a child of God. Doesn't matter what's happening around your life, you're still a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. All praise the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again. Somebody say born again. This is a part of the revelation of understanding who we are as the church, that you've been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Where is it kept? Where is it kept? The inheritance is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. In other words, I've put a blessing and an inheritance in a space for you that the laws of this world don't apply to. Okay? So what happens in this world where there's decay and there's death and there's all those sorts of things, where your inheritance is and your blessing is in a space where those laws don't apply. Okay, let's keep reading. And through your faith, verse number 5, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation. Remember, they're in exile right now. They're being persecuted, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed in the whole earth. You love Him even though that those two words, even though, are so powerful, even though you've never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Isn't this so powerful? The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was not something even the prophets wanted to know. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and His great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into the old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the Scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge your reward according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during the time here as temporary residents. Someone say, it's temporary. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as a ransom long before the world began, but now in these days he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you've come to trust in God, and you've placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. Great glory. If you're ever going through a tough experience, 1 Peter's chapter 1 is a good book to read. Because in the Western church today, our level of persecution versus the level of persecution that was happening, it's not even close. I remember being in Indonesia on a trip, preaching at a fairly large church in Indonesia at a pastor's type of gathering, and people had come from all over Indonesia to participate in this pastor's conference. At the end of the service, there was a time for prayer, and there was hungry hearts at that altar. And one elderly man approached me and through an interpreter said, "Can you pray for prayer?" And I said, like every well-meaning pastor does, "What can I pray for?" And this man through the interpreter said, "Can you pray that this man receives strength and grace to walk through what he has to walk through?" And I said, "Yeah, what do you mean?" Well, the man then proceeded to walk over to the man that I was praying for, the interpreter, lifts up the back of his shirt to scars and wounds from living in areas and pioneering churches in areas where there's that much persecution. They're not praying to get out of the persecution, by the way. They're praying for the grace to be able to walk through it. In the West, because our God is the God of comfort at times, even the way that you and I at times approach God, we're really wanting the genie from Aladdin. Instead, what the Lord is trying to do is the Lord is trying to produce something in us. And sometimes the prayer shouldn't be, "God, get me out of this." Sometimes the prayer should be, "God, what are you trying to develop in me through this?" You with me? I was extremely humbled by this man. I turned to the interpreter and said, "He should be praying for me." But I walk in there with fine clothes and nice shoes, a different skin color from a wealthy country, and they look to me to honor. But the truth is, in every scar, in every mark on that man's body, there was the glory of Jesus. And we must mature beyond a stage as the church where our prayer times are primarily complaining to God and getting to that place where we're saying, "Lord, would you change us?" See, the New Testament church lived with a different mentality. They saw in everything that they did as the ecclesia, as the church, that in everything, we're not sure exactly how yet because the end of the story has not happened, but we're going to look for a way that God can receive glory through the struggles that I have to go through. We're going to look for a way that God, through the challenges, through the dry times, through the diagnoses, through the financial crises, through the global pandemics, through all of those things, we're going to find a way that God can receive glory. We're going to find a way that God can continue to receive worship. And I believe that there are some keys in this scripture this morning that are going to help us to understand the mentality the filter, the processing of the New Testament church, and hopefully it adds a layer to us as a church in 2024 where we can live out the presence and the power of God and be the kingdom of God, release the kingdom of God to the world and see an influence take place for his glory, amen? Because I don't know about you, but our high schools need Jesus more than ever. I don't know about you, but our universities that once were founded on kingdom, godly principles, they need the redemptive hand of God to sweep through them again. I don't know about you, but our government needs the influence of godly, God-fearing politicians again. Our government needs an upheaval, and we need to see the glory of God hit that place. Our world need Jesus. And you know how they're going to meet him? Through you. Let me give you these things and then I want to teach you something really powerful. I want to give you four things. Number one of the lessons that we learn from 1 Peter is we learn that how you are living is not who you really are. Write that down. How I am living is not who I really am. How you are living is not who you really are. See, one of the great tensions that we live in, and I think just due to immaturity and lack of teaching of this in the church, we haven't known how to process this tension. But one of the great tensions I feel that we live with on a continual basis is that we live with what we're in, but we also live with the tension of what God has said. We live in the issue, but we also live with the promise. We live in this prophetic tension of the what we're in now, but what God has spoken about that we're going to walk into. And you know, one of the greatest prophetic words that God's declared over your life is that when you receive Christ, you will be saved. Did you know it is appointed? It doesn't matter if you say you get cancer and then you get healed. The Bible has a promise for you. And the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man to die once. Every person will die once. You know, there are two people that are going to come back in the last times, right? In the end days, two prophets. One of them's Elijah. Remember, he didn't die. Remember, he got caught up in a horse and chariot, went straight to heaven. Why is he coming back in the last day? Because God's word is true. And one of the mysteries why he needs to come back is for him to live out eternity in the right way that we get to, right? Because, how do I say this? Help me, Lord. We're on a bit of a tangent, but it's a good one. The truth is death is death. God saw death as a gift. The reason why he saw death as a gift, it wasn't his plan. But if we weren't to die, we would have lived perpetually in our sin. And so God introduces the concept of death so that we could then, you know what happens at the end? When we get new bodies, we're perfect before God. That's why Elijah's coming back. Because he also, anyway, we're on a tangent now. How you're living is not who you are. How you're living is not who you are. I want to be clear on this. Faith is not denying that a circumstance exists. I hear of some people, they get some sort of diagnosis or they're going through something or they take the word of faith movement to a really far extreme. And so they get a diagnosis and something's going on in their body or whatever it might be. But they believe that it's like, I'm going to deny that even exists. So I don't have a headache. 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 I don't have this. I don't have that. Someone says, you're right. Do you have a headache? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You're like, they're there. You know what I'm talking about. And the truth is faith is not denying that a problem exists. What faith does is faith denies the influence of the problem. Faith means that I'm not going to make decisions based upon, my worship is not going to be influenced by something that's happening in the world. I lose my job. Just because I lose my job, that's not going to change the identity that I carry. Nothing in this world can rob me from that. That's why they can be living in persecution, but have inexpressible joy. They've got this joy that's so crazy, they shouldn't have it. They've got the Toronto blessing happening every day of their lives. Come on, somebody. They are just in this place of joy and peace. And it has nothing to do with out there. It has everything to do with the fact that who they are is not what they're going through. Right? Let me say it like this. I want you to hear this. In fact, let's just go number two. Our behavior doesn't mirror the culture that we live in, but the identity that we carry. Right? That's number two. My behavior doesn't mirror the culture or the context that I live in, but the identity that I carry. Oh, we're going to have a pastoral moment. My behavior doesn't mirror the culture of this world. It mirrors or is an expression of the identity that I carry. You ready to go a bit deeper? You ready for it? You ready for the word? This is part of the reason why we've got to continue to grow. Because over my 25 years of pastoral ministry, I've watched so many Christian people fall out of faith, walk away from the church with a big chip on their shoulder. And really, absolutely, people do dumb things. And people should humble themselves and apologize and repent and do all those sorts of things. I'm not throwing a wet blanket over something that should be dealt with. You know me by now. You know that's how we roll. Absolutely. But the truth is I've seen too many people over the years just leave a spiritual community, fall out of relationship with God, not live on purpose and in destiny. And really what's happening is that they haven't had the image of Jesus formed in them enough. And so one little speed bump, they didn't get the microphone that they wanted. They didn't get the platform, or someone disappointed them, or Matt didn't say hi to them in the foyer. Matt's been avoiding me for weeks, you know, whatever the case might be. But the truth is what's in you always comes out of you in those hard times. And so we've got to make sure that we keep realizing that our identity, you hear me talk about this all the time, it's identity that is important. Do you know who you are in Jesus? Do you know what he's done for you? Do you know the price he's paid for you? Do you know that wherever you go, you have and carry him inside of you? Amen. Number three, you used to be a citizen. This is a lesson we learned from 1 Peter. The church is under persecution. Number three, you used to be a citizen of earth trying to touch heaven. But now you're a citizen of heaven trying to touch earth. Let me say that again. You used to be a citizen of earth trying to touch heaven. But now, being born again, you're a citizen of heaven trying to touch earth. Worship's not meant to be the big strain that we make it to be at times. This is grace-filled. Because the thing that gets you, well, let me say it like this, the door is Jesus himself. And it's by grace, the grace of God, that we have access to that. So you don't need to strive. You are a citizen of heaven. As a young worship leader back in the day, I used to I'm sure you can sympathize with this if you've led worship, but I used to have so much pressure on my shoulders around performance for me personally. Hope it's good. Hope I didn't get the goosebumps today, so maybe I didn't do too well. Hope, Lord, what songs do you want me to pick? Give me the four songs that you want me to pick. It's like, man, just come in and worship. It wasn't until something shifted in my identity that I got free of the performance and realized that, hey, this wasn't about me or you. This is about him. And so first Peter teaches us that you used to be a citizen of earth trying to touch heaven, and you strived. And in the old covenant, everything in the kingdom that you and I have access to was out of reach. If I could illustrate this morning, I would have all these names drop from the ceiling. They're not coming, don't worry, I didn't organize it. But I'd have like deliverance and freedom and authority and healing, and I'd have power, and I'd have all these salvation, and I'd have peace, and I'd have joy, and I'd have all these words, and they would just fall low enough that they were just out of reach. I'd have to do everything in my own human effort to try to reach up to grab those things, because that's what religion does in order to try to access the things of God. That's what the law did for years. I might just stay up here for a while, okay? That's what the law did for so long. It was like, this is the human prop that's going to lift you up high enough to access deliverance and healing and forgiveness and all those sorts of things. Along comes the game changer, the world changer, Jesus Christ. And what he didn't do is go, here's another box for you to climb up on. He took all of those things and brought them down to a place and made them available to us. And so now we were citizens of earth trying to touch heaven, but now we're not only citizens of heaven trying to touch earth, we walk around with the realities of heaven on the inside of us. And so wherever we go as the ecclesia, whether it's on the military base, doesn't matter where it is, whether it's in a university, it doesn't matter, you know what I'm saying? I could list a whole lot of things, whether it's the retirement village or the preschool, you carry now the kingdom of God inside of you. And so you carry that power, you carry that joy, you carry a solution to the problem that someone's facing in your workplace. Why? Because that is the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is that which was out of reach to you and I has now not just become within, like we can touch it. Jesus said, I'm going to put it in you. I'm so happy preaching this. It's inside of you. The last lesson that I want you to learn, and then we're going to take a pivot and we're going to finish, is I want you to learn that every season is significant. Just because there's no lights, you're not walking in the success that you think you should be walking in. Every season is significant. Every season is significant. We've got to continue to allow God to change the way we think about what true success is, because we've been intoxicated with a worldly version of success, which is anchored in materialism. But the Lord wants us to be free from that. And He wants us to know that, hey, you can be in a prison and still be the ecclesia. You can be in a hospital bed and still be the ecclesia. You can be in a church building and still be the ecclesia. Why? Because it's who you are, not what you do. That's how Paul and Silas, why they continue to pray. They're not doing it. Remember, they don't know the end of the story in Acts chapter 16. They don't know that they're going to get free. They're doing it because it's a part of their identity. Yeah? And so we must too. So how do we live with this reality? I want to teach you one thing this morning. How do we live like this church that we read about in the book of Acts, that we hear about God raising up certain people in time and history? We hear of the Wigglesworths, and we hear of Finney, and we hear of Spurgeon, and we hear of all these different things, and we have some modern day examples of those things too, where God in His grace causes someone to rise to a place where they have an understanding and a revelation. Something shifts inside of them that it's almost like they're a walking representation of heaven on earth. Do you know what I mean? John G. Lake, who had the bubonic plague put on him and put under a microscope, and the the plague died under the microscope. How do we get to that place where no matter what we're going through, we can access that much of heaven, that much of what God has made available to us, that despite what we're going through, even though we go through stuff, we can still live in joy, we can still live in peace, we can still live in forgiveness when people hurt us. Are you with me? How do we do that? One of the things that we've got to do is we've got to understand what God has made available to us and how we are to access it. We've got to understand, one of the things that you and I need to understand is we've got to understand how heaven works. We've got to understand how heaven works. Many Christians don't understand that there are three heavens that the Bible speaks about. Three heavens, right? They think of it only as a place that God is, and when they die, they're going to go there too. But let's just unpack that a little bit. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 12:2, it's fascinating scripture, Paul says this. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, and then it says, such a one got caught up into the third heaven. Paul records that a man that he knew somewhere around 14 years ago or so, he got caught up. God supernaturally took him up into this third heaven, right? We know at the start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and for the sake of time, I won't unpack all of this. We'll do this for another time. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to think about this. God created the heavens. Even the heaven, which is one of the heavens we're going to talk about, that is God's home, right? His abode, his crib, right? Even the heavens, that heavens, God created that heaven. This is hard to explain. I don't really know how to explain it. But God created that heaven so that we could articulate where he is. If you think about God being God, it's actually impossible for something to exist that wasn't created by him. Otherwise, he's not God. The thing that created that thing that he exists in is God. Are you with me? And so God is God all by himself. God created this realm of heaven for him to stay in so that we would have a way of articulating who he is, so that we would understand his kingdom assignment for our lives. Are you with me? And so God creates the heavens and the earth. Let's leave how the heavens get created. But the first heaven is, what shall we call it? The first heaven is what we're going to call earth, okay? It's everything in this atmosphere that we know. The second heaven is what we're going to call the spiritual atmosphere. I believe that there was a time in the creation story where these two realities were a lot closer than they are now. The world of Genesis chapter 1 to 6, we're going deep this morning, is a fascinating place where the sons of God, in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the sons of God hooking up with the daughters of men, that's the modern day translation, and having children, okay? Where angels, where spiritual beings and humankind are getting together. I know you're not ready for this, it's Sunday morning, but come on, we're going to go to work this morning. And so I believe that the heavens as in the earth and the spiritual realm, the second heaven, they were a lot more intertwined than they are right now. The third heaven is God's dwelling place, his country, his domain. And the Bible teaches us that we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of where? God's domain. And the Bible, Paul taught us that we are ambassadors for Christ in the earth, in the first realm of heaven, of the third realm of heaven. Are you with me? So our new identity, our power, our nature, our who we are needs to be anchored from not the earth, but from God. Let's go a little bit deeper. This is why Paul taught us that you and I are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Sometimes my life doesn't represent or reflect me being seated in heavenly places. Because there is a spiritual reality and a revelation that we must understand that we, even though we are here, we're also there. You still with me? It is quiet in this church this morning. Let's give you a few scriptures just to show you this. Deuteronomy 10:14. Behold, the heaven, I've put in brackets there, the second heaven. And look at this. I'm showing you where it talks about three different spaces out of the scriptures. Don't hate me. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens, which I believe is the third heaven, is the Lord's thy God. Then look what it says after that. The earth also. So we see the heavens and we see the heavens, heaven of heavens, and we see the earth, three distinct realms with all that are therein. Is 1 Kings 8:27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Did you hear what it says? Heaven and the heaven of heavens, they can't contain God. Even the heaven that we assign to God's place can't contain who he is. All right? Stick with me. Nehemiah 9:6. Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, the seas and all that is therein. Psalms 113:4. The Lord is high above all the nations and his glory above the heavens. His glory is above all the heavens. Hebrews 4, speaking about Jesus, verse 14, seeing that we have the great high priest that has passed into the heavens, plural, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Ephesians 4, which is an echo, essentially, of, it's like a hyperlink, if you know what they are on the internet, of Psalms 113:4, where he repeats, he that descended in the same also that he ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In conclusion, what I'm wanting you to understand today is that you and I, no matter what we go through as the church, we live with the ability. We live with a nature that comes from the third heaven, God's place. You have a new identity. Galatians says that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You actually, your makeup comes from there, not from here. I know that when your parents got together, all the babies, all the new parents, and you know this if you've had children, some days, honestly, I have people come up to me and say, oh, he looks just like Alicia. And then next minute in the foyer, someone else will come and say, he looks just like you. And I'm like, which one is it? It's both. But now that's because you plus what you're intimate with, you give birth to. And so when you are intimate with heaven, not earth, that's what you produce. Our problem is we're so connected to an earthly version of Christianity that when troubled times come, we just lose the plot. And God's wanting to take us deeper today, and I believe this is the journey we're on as his church, to grow to a place, no matter what we go through, we have a depth inside of us that draws from our new identity in Christ Jesus. Are you with me today? This new identity in Christ. Come on, go and clap your hands and give God glory for that. That's what you and I have. This is why I say you used to be a citizen of earth trying to touch heaven. Now that's a reality within you. Woo! It's inside of you. And God has given us a series of what I am terming, although if you're new, it's going to sound weird, but technologies that God has given us to access the resources, the promises, and the reality of that spiritual realm. I believe someone told me the scripture. Ehab, you might be able to help me. But where it talks about we've been given every spirit, it's Ephesians chapter 1, that's right, we had this. We've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Where is it? It's in him. Where's he? Well, he's in us. So now, as the church, David, jump up so people think I'm going to finish soon. So now in us, I am going to finish soon. Now in us, we've got to learn the God way of living. We've got to learn to live the Christ way of living. We've got to learn to live. That's why Jesus could forgive enemies. Why? He was drawing of something that was within him that was not of this world. Oh, you are in the world, but you are not. That's how you love someone that hurts you. God has given us all these technologies by which we can access him. This is what the scriptures are about, showing and revealing to us. Yesterday I woke up, I took my dog out to the toilet. We don't have fences, so it's a long process. I have to sit out there on a rock and just wait for him. And I was there, as I was there, I just thought I'm gonna go inside, I'm gonna get my Bible. I got my Bible out. I started reading 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I picked up this green kind of fine line Sharpie thing that I've got, and I felt the Lord say to me, I want you to highlight all of the God technologies that you see in it. I know it sounds weird. And I started going through it. Where's my Bible? My Bible's here. And this is about the birthing of Samuel, one of the greatest prophets to ever live. And I started reading it, and I started highlighting and underlining these words and writing them down. I started to write down the word worship. That's a God technology. I started writing, I underlined sacrifice. I also saw that it happened in Shiloh. That's a spiritual significant location. I saw the word offering. I underlined that. I saw that Hannah would give a double, that Hannah would give a double portion. I saw that. I saw that she prayed. I saw that she wept in intercession. I saw that she went to the temple. I saw all these different things. And then as a result, things don't just happen. You gotta tap into the God technology. Michael, just put that list up really quickly and then we're gonna close. I don't wanna scare you, but I've got 18 things. Just take a photo of them. We're just going to go through them. Because what I want you to learn is I don't want you to shout about, yeah, we're the church, we're citizens of heaven in the earth. Yay, yay, yay. I want you to learn that you've got to understand that when you go through hard times, there are technologies, there are tools, there are things that God's given us to access the realities of the kingdom of heaven. Write these down. The first one, prayer. There's scripture references there. There's faith. How do we move mountains? Happens through the God technology, the tool of faith. Do a study on that. It will tremendously help your life. The Holy Spirit is called our helper. What does he help us with? He helps us to continue to reveal the person of Jesus. What else does he help us? The Holy Spirit is the deliverer of power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So if you have a situation where it's requiring spiritual power, dunamis, then you need to be going to the Holy Spirit and asking him. God's word, the Bible. The Bible is the reality of our truth, and it cuts through lies. Fellowship with other believers. You might not want to hear that, but it's a God technology. How does encouragement come? Encouragement comes when we are connected with other people. What else is there? There's love. Love is a gift that you can speak in the tongues of angels and men, but if you don't love, it just goes out the window. Love is important. Go to the next one, please, Michael. Service and good works, worship, giving and offerings, fasting, meditation on God's word. Meditation is one of the most undertaught things in the Western church. We're going to start talking about it a bit because meditation is a God tool technology that God has given us to access spiritual realities. The world uses it all the time. The world uses it all the time. I can't remember what they call it, but they they call it visualization. And if I can just visualize it, then it's going to happen. It's a God technology that's been stolen by the world. Repentance. Don't bring your gift to the altar if you've got beef with your friend. Come on. Repent. Next one, please. Testimony, spiritual warfare, obedience, humility, thanksgiving, confession of faith. Come on, let's stand. We're going to put this first one into practice just for 2 minutes. And we're just going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord to come and move. Are you ready for that? For some of you, this might be the first time you prayed. That's okay. That's good. Actually wonderful. You might say, I don't know how to pray. That's all good too. You don't need to say too many words, to be honest. And it depends. There's different modes of prayer. We're going to do a month on prayer leading into our prayer summit that's happening in June. It's going to be phenomenal, where we're going to teach you how to pray. And to our Sunday services, there's going to be teaching, and then there's also going to be a practical part of the message, because we want you to learn how to pray. And so all that we're going to do right now is we're just going to open our mouths and we're going to begin to say the name of Jesus. Can we do that? Can we just say His name right now and fill the atmosphere of this room with who He is? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we bless your wonderful name. You're mighty, you're strong, you're great. We praise you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you're so good. Father, would you help us by your Spirit to be the church that you've called us to be? Would you help us, Father, to live not anchored in this world, but anchored in the realities of the finished work of Jesus? Lord, we give all the glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who's made it available for us, who Romans teaches us we have access because of Jesus. We have access to you, Father, because of Jesus. So we honor you today, Jesus. We worship you today, Jesus. We bless your wonderful name today, Jesus. And even right now, Lord, I believe that you're the healer of marriages, Father. I believe that you're the healer of minds. I believe, God, right now, by faith, Lord, that you are the healer of bodies. I believe by faith right now that you are the giver of energy. There's someone here right now, you've come in super tired, and God just wants to release spiritual power and energy into you today. It's physically going to touch your body right now. Just go ahead and wave before the Lord and just receive that if that's you today. I believe today there are people, you don't have vision, you don't have hope, you don't know what the future holds, and God, through the Spirit, through His Spirit, is going to put life and hope and vision inside of you today in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We praise you. And for those of you that don't know Him today, I want to invite you to know Jesus. I want to invite you to know who He is. He loves you and He has a plan for your life. And all you're going to do today, if you say, Matt, I'm not a Christian. I don't really know anything about this. Friend, I want to tell you, your life is empty without Him. And God may not be the God that you've been told He is. He is a God of grace and peace and joy and love. And He doesn't ask you to change before you come to Him. He says, come to me. Come to me. Just come to me. Just come to me. Come as you are. And whoever you are today and whatever you've got going on, if you don't know God or you sense that you're away from Him for whatever reason, I believe that Jesus right now wants you to know that He loves you and He has a plan for your life. And if that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Fill me. Forgive me. Change me. Save me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, coming back to life so that I can be saved. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Very cool. Well, if you prayed that prayer on your way out, actually a friend of yours is going to ask you, hey, did you pray that prayer or do you want to pray that prayer? Do you know God? Are you far from God? Did you pray that prayer? Do you want to talk about that prayer? Do you want to talk about church? Do you want to talk about that wee guy up the front? They might ask you a lot of things. But I pray that this week you'd be in a situation where you'd be like, oh, there's a technology for that. You with me? And so that God would use you, because you're not a citizen of earth trying to touch heaven. You're a citizen of heaven now trying to touch earth in Jesus' name. Hey, Al, if you want prayer, we're going to make that available to you. Just come and stand up the front. Someone will come and pray with you. Have a fantastic week. We really do look forward to seeing you next week if you can make it. And enjoy coffee, tea, sign up for women's retreat before it fills up. And have a wonderful day. Enjoy the sunshine. Amen.